This is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show on bizradio.co.uk and channelradio.co.uk/2 on this Tuesday, May the 22nd, with me, Paul Andrews, and my co-host, Mr. Marvellous Martin White. I want to tell you about something now that's happening in Canterbury in June. It's the Great Get-Together, and it's taking place on Sunday the 24th of June at the Westgate Hall in the heart of Canterbury City Centre. The aim of the event is to bring together the fantastic mix of people from around the world who make up our great city of Canterbury. Westgate Hall is hosting this year's event under the Great Get-Together banner in conjunction with the Canterbury Curry Club, coordinated along with a mass of local organisations including the Canterbury Society, the Ethnic Minority Independent Council, the Residents Association, local schools, the Ghost Tour and hosts of others. Westgate Hall will be the place to get together to share food, music, songs and generally hang out with people from and around Canterbury. There'll be tables where you can bring your own food to eat or share with everyone else, and maybe you can share their culinary delights too. There'll be musical performances and fun things for kids to do. Weather permitting, we'll be setting a street party outside the hall. The event runs from midday until 3 p.m, so turn up whenever you like, make new friends and join the fun. It's entirely free. Your support and donations are essential to help make this community lunch a success, so you can make a donation if you want. You can send your logo through to go on any of the stuff, but they need it by now, so it's probably a bit too late. It's taking place on June the 24th, 12 p.m. to 3 p.m. at the Westgate Hall in Canterbury, and that's from Paul Babra, who happens to run Canterbury Curry Club.
What Paul doesn't know about curry isn't worth knowing.
Oh, I know. He's unbelievable, his stuff.
Yeah. And that ghost chap, that
John Hippersley,
he's a character.
He's probably one of the funniest people I've ever met, Hippersley.
If you ever go on one of his walks around Canterbury, it's just fascinating. Obviously, it's ghost story.
So, yeah, but he's brilliant. He's so funny. He's brilliant. He's so droll. Anyway, Paul Babra, who's very involved in the local scene in Canterbury, and he runs the Canterbury Curry Club. He's the event coordinator. If you want to find out more, you can email him at paulbabra, B-A-B-R-A, at yahoo.co.uk.
I've got a connection here.
Have you?
It was almost sort of tailor-made to fit in with that.
Was it?
From one Paul to another Paul, but also running a curry-focused or themed
event.
That'll
be Paul Beer then.
Paul Kane.
Paul Kane.
Kane and beer. So, Thursday, the 31st of May. Next Thursday, 6:30 p.m, Kosturi, Hayes, another one of Paul's famous curry and beer, cane and beer, curry nights. So networking, curry, and a drink, I think £25 all in. So great evening. I've been to one of those before. Brian, you must have been to one of Paul's curry nights, haven't you, up there?
Do you know what? I haven't, Martin, but I have heard they're very, very good.
Right.
Sorry.
Sorry, it helps if I turn your mic on. Sorry.
Thanks, Paul.
That's right.
Cheers, mate. Yeah.
Yes. Smashing nicely here, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't.
You ain't seen nothing yet.
But Backman Turner Overdrive.
Absolutely.
Haven't actually been, but I have heard they're very, very
good. Well, they are very good. And the food is superb.
Well, for reasons that will become apparent later, we may well be going very soon.
Of course. Yes, we'll come on to that. info@caneandbeer.co.uk. Or www.caneandbeer.co.uk. All the information's on their website. But well worth going along to if you want to network up in the Bromley stroke Hayes area next Thursday.
Fantastic. I had a tweet from Athelbray Limited. Vanilla Web Business Bunker, could you do a big, and they say big, shout out for two associates, Andy Stiles and Louise Pierce, both celebrating their birthday next Friday. They, along with the rest of the team, do a cracking job, and Andy even managed to combine his with the GDPR date he's been training for months.
Said it again.
Was that GDPR again?
Yeah.
We've had a tweet from our friend Simon Hammond at Morpheus. You know Simon.
I know Simon,
been
yeah.
on the show as a guest of ours before. He was tweeting to let us know that GDPR fines are actually uninsurable.
Yes,
on
absolutely.
A kind of business insurance level. So thanks for that, Simon. That's... all the more reason to get our GDPR policies sorted.
Fantastic.
Women in Business Networking Lunch. Paul, you used to go along to these, didn't you, before they cottoned on?
I got banned eventually.
It'd still get away with it now, surely.
Oh, yes.
It was when I shaved my beard off, they noticed.
His pink tutu. You haven't seen him in his pink tutu. It's on the 13th of June at the Crown Lodge near Ashford. I've not been there before. Is that a nice venue?
I don't know.
Never been there either. It's chaired by Emma Lydiard. I think Emma, isn't she the Heart FM lady, or she used to be?
She still is. She's managing director of Heart First.
Isn't she also the chair of the IOD in Canada or something?
No, that would be Jane Ollis.
Oh, that's Jane. Okay. Sorry, I thought she was involved with the IOD. Kubi Springer is also speaking on the day of She Builds Brands. Kubi has her own show on here, doesn't she?
No, not anymore.
Oh, very misinformed, aren't I?
He's so behind the curve,
this misinformed.
He'll get one right in a minute.
Anyway, there is a website address, which I can't get wrong because it's written here. Kent Women in Business.
Oh, don't you.
KentWomenInBusiness.co.uk. It's on the 13th of June at the Crown Lodge near Ashford, and Paul Andrews won't be going. He used to go, but he won't be there, lady, so it's safe.
Cool. I've had a tweet from Four Roles for Goals, and they say, thanks, Vanilla Webb and the Business Bunker, and we will make sure that educational life and Four Roles for Goals are connected. We love what they do, and if we can be part of it, that would be great. So there you go. So they're going to make contact with you.
Brian, you know Diligence very well as well, don't you? Nicola.
I'd say I always know her as Nicola.
She's a big Dartford FC supporter as well, isn't she?
Yes, she is.
Whenever I've been to a game, Nicola's been there with her.
Two.
In fact, they've just been promoted, haven't they? Didn't they get promoted?
Martin, again, no.
Is there anything that Martin knows anything about?
But my number seven, Ryan.
Ryan Hayes, who's just left.
Oh, has he just left?
He has,
But didn't he do something spectacular?
Yeah, he left.
You voted for him as man of the match.
I gave him man of the match, and that's my claim to fame. I presented him.
And he's gone to play for somebody in Essex, hasn't he?
Yeah, I think he has. Might have gone to Concord or something.
Have I called the playoffs too early?
No, it's all happened. Oh. Dartford were top all season, right until the last game, and they didn't quite do it. So they went in the playoffs, and unfortunately they lost at home to Braintree.
Well, I tell you what, they know how to look after you up there. And actually, I've got a link to Dartford Football Club again here, because our good friends Jarman Solicitors, Metro Bank again, and us, Supply My Business, we're having a joint networking evening, and Brian, you're going to be there.
In a big way.
BBN.
Yep. Nibbles.
It's on the 21st of June, that's the solstice actually, it's 6 p.m, it's at Dartford Football Club, there is so much parking you wouldn't believe. We're actually anticipating anywhere between 100 and 200 businesses there on the night, it's going to be massive. And it's free. And there's an Eventbrite booking link on our website in the community section again. So if you're interested in networking with businesses in North Kent who actually do a lot of their business in London, so it's a very, very different dynamic to what you might normally find at your normal networking event in Kent, please do come along. We'd love to meet you on the evening. So that's the 21st of June at Dartford Football Club.
I thought you were making it up. I've just found a tweet. So funny hearing two old guys trying to pronounce Ariane Grande.
He's done it again.
That's the eighth.
Sorry, how do you pronounce it? How do you pronounce her name?
Hairy Anne.
Anyway, what a lovely young lady, and all credit to her.
Yes.
There is no following that, really.
No, there isn't. I've had a tweet from Tracy Ferguson.
She's in Jamaica.
She's in Black River, Jamaica, listening at the moment. So there you go. So, I hope you're having a good time, Tracy. We'll see you soon when you get back. So, cool.
That's a place, Jamaica, isn't it? What a lovely place.
No, she went of her own accord.
Oh, God, here we go. I think we better get another guest on.
Do you reckon?
Yes.
Okay, go for it.
Is it Richard?
Yeah.
Richard Torble.
Where is he?
To be fair, he's got to get something right, hasn't he?
Richard, thank you very much for coming on the Business Bunker. It's lovely to see you here. We've been working together for some time. The listener, if there is one left, may not know that. Yeah. But we've been kind of in collaboration for some time now, and that's working really well. So I thought it was about time.
I wonder why you had a tick, Richard.
it's a nervous thing, obviously.
Yeah.
It's nothing but positive.
Yeah, exactly. And so I thought it was about time you came on the radio to tell everybody about what you're doing in the world of website design. So tell us, give us a quick intro in terms of what you're all about and what Torvald Design actually stands for.
Thank you, Martin. It's a pleasure to be back in the Business Bunker studio, and hello to everyone who's listening. Yeah, it's a very exciting time for me and our business, because at the beginning of the year we kind of had a re-evaluation of our focus and where our interests lie. For those of you who might know me, I have a background in business photography. I've been doing that in the business community for the last sort of 5 or 6 years or so.
Because people may know you as the money shot guy. Sorry, the headshot guy. Is that right?
Depends who you talk to. You know, might be the right answer to that.
He used to be a sniper, is what you're saying. Yeah.
And I loved that game. I might blow my own trumpet, but I was very good at it. And it got to the point where it was actually too much work for one human being to take on. But I didn't want to give that up. So I decided that rather than give it up entirely, I would turn that into a little bit of an agency. I built a team of people that were able to serve our existing clients and new ones. We're still open for business if anybody needs...
Because that business model is still equally valid today as it was then. The number of people on LinkedIn who think it's acceptable to take a selfie of themselves on a four-poster bed wearing a negligee or a pair of boxer shorts.
Can we leave Paul out of this?
And I thought I looked quite good, actually. So your problem with that is what, Martin? Is that why you turned down my connection request?
But I mean, it's unbelievable. And there seem, it's particularly, I find the younger generation seem to think it's all about a glamour shot. You know, so they're trying to be sort of credible as professional people on a professional business social media platform like LinkedIn.
Yeah.
And yet they'll post a glamour picture of themselves, you know, all dressed up, ready to go out on a Saturday night or something.
I think it is a cultural thing. Mm. I think the younger generation seem to... it comes more natural to them to be the Snapchat, Instagram generation, you know. Mm-hmm. But
by the same token, just to defend young people, some old people tend to put just rubbishy photographs on of any old thing that they found and cropped from 20 years ago. Mm. Yeah.
Yes, you're right. And when you meet them in person, they don't actually look like that at all. And so quite often you'll walk past them thinking, I don't know you.
There might be a reason.
But in your photograph, in your photograph, you had hair kind of thing. Yeah. But you haven't.
You're not talking about my photograph.
No, I'm talking in general.
You're talking about your own. Anyway, look, we're digressing. We're not here to talk about that today, are we? We're here to talk about how you've now transitioned into the world of...
Website design.
Website design.
Yeah, because I love oversaturated markets.
Right. Okay, yes, because, I mean, there's only... How many website designers in Kent?
I think I've seen 6 million on my way in.
Six million, and counting.
And I only live 5 minutes around the corner.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
But so, I'm going to tell you something, because you're absolutely right. There are a lot of web designers about. But do you know... and I was shocked when I saw this. The Federation of Small Business did a survey, and 73% of single-person, self-employed and micro-businesses do not have a digital presence. 73% don't have a website or a digital presence for their business.
What I do know is that in my time spent at Kent Vision Live last week, and I was wandering around talking to some knowledgeable people and people in the recruitment industry, other digital agencies, and the feedback that I got was quite surprising. I got told quite a lot that people were really struggling to find website designers and web developers. Mm. Now, and the funny thing is that, not to digress back to the photography, but there's a lot of parallels. Mm. You know, I was getting a lot of people when I was doing that game that would tell me they really struggled to find a photographer. Mm-hmm. I'm like, well, how can that possibly be? But what people mean is they struggle to find a good one.
Yes. Mm. Right. And to that end, Richard very kindly wrote us a brilliant business blog recently all about what he thinks the 5 classic mistakes people make on their website. So maybe we should get into some of that, because whilst there are 6 million website designers out there in Kent, how many of them are actually kind of looking at the 5 golden rules for their clients' websites, for example?
I think that's a very good point. And I think that's one of the reasons why I wrote the blog in the first place, because if you're not used to buying a website or hiring someone to help you build a website, and you know, websites aren't something that you redo every 3 months. You know, you'll do it and it'll last you 5 or 6 years. So people, generally speaking, don't tend to have much experience in doing it, and they don't know where to start. So many people tell them so many things. There's so many things involved. You know, SEO and all. And the other thing is that it's lots of technical jargon that mm-hmm. gets bounded around, and it's very difficult sometimes for people to find the right people.
It's funny you should say that, because at the Networkers Networking event at Limcastle last week, we had a huge debate about exactly that point. It was one of the workshops we covered, and do you know Aaron Taylor from 6.2?
I know him very well.
Yeah, Aaron's written a blog about that, which is now available on the Cambridge Radio website. Brilliant. Yeah, because we were talking about exactly that syndrome, and you're absolutely right, Richard. One of the reasons that there are 73% of people without a website is they don't know how to go and get one, and they're scared. Yeah, because they don't want to be blinded by science. They don't want to pay through the nose for something they don't need to pay through the nose for. But so many people also, you know, I run a web development agency too. Yeah. One of the problems you get is people rock up and they go, oh, I want it to do this, and go ding, and go bing, and you go, right. And you go, yeah, we can do that. 25,000. And they go, no, my budget's more 200 quid. Yeah. And you go, I could do you a one page for that in my spare time, basically, with no graphics on it. So, you're absolutely right. There's this angle of people not understanding what they want, but also being scared of being ripped off.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Because it is easy, you know, with anything technical, if you don't know what you're doing, it's like the syndrome of taking your car to a garage if you don't know, isn't it?
Yeah.
And they go, whoa, the trouble is, mate, your effluent carburetor's attached to your windscreen wipers. Whoa, that's not good.
Painful.
Yeah.
Well, the other problem, and that's a big part of it, but I think the other problem is also because, you know, we all rely on other businesses to make our business work. And because we're not experts in accountancy or website design in this instance, you know, we need to have a level of reassurance that we're actually talking to the people that are going to do the best job for us within our budget parameters.
Absolutely.
And there's an awful lot of people out there, ultimately, that don't necessarily have that stamp of credibility. So how do you know you're buying, you know, from the right person?
Exactly. And also there's some other issues here about the cost of things too. And I'm sure Richard will back me up on this based on his background.
Probably.
One of the other problems that you get, especially nowadays, is things like photographs and graphics and stuff. So people will Google something and they'll go, I want that on my website. Yeah, but that's a copyrighted picture. That belongs to someone.
Right.
No, it's on the internet, so it must be free. And you get so many people, and trouble is there are cowboy web designers that will go, keep it cheap, you know, we'll just take a couple of things off of Google, nobody will notice, slam it on a website. And you can't do that. You know, as a photographer, you own the copyrights of those photographs.
You do at the point of creation, yeah. There's a few points to make there. I think the first one is, like I said, if you're not used to buying a website or hiring someone to do that for you, how much does a website cost? It could be 50 quid. Could be $1 million.
Absolutely.
You know, how much does it... what I found is that you have to anchor the price that you would charge for that service to some form of logic.
Mm-hmm.
And that logic is based on the business objective. And I think one of the mistakes that people are making is, web designers are making, is when they get that initial inquiry, they immediately jump to the specifics of the website. How many pages do you want? What pictures do you want? What colours do you want?
Yeah.
All that kind of stuff.
And that becomes the price almost. Is that what you're saying?
Well, I think, and tell me if I'm wrong, I think what Richard is saying here, though, is that you're starting at the wrong point.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah? You're too far down the journey.
You're trying to design the website when, in fact, the better question to ask is, why do you want a website and what do you want it to do?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's what we try and look at. You know, what's the business? What we're trying to do is not just throw some pages on the internet for people, because anyone can do that. There's no value in that.
Yeah.
What we try and do is trying to help people to grow their business, which sounds like a bit of a cheesy cliche, but that's really what we do. So all of the questioning at the very beginning is about what's the business, who are your clients, what are you trying to achieve, where are they?
That is the salient point.
Yeah.
Because you think about how many websites you will see on a given day, and how many websites you're going to think, oh, I want to come back to that website again. You know, zero probably.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're just static websites. They are, you know, they might or they might not answer a specific question that you have at that moment in time. And there's no reason to come back to it again.
That's why Richard has hit the nail on the head, because without doing yourself out of business, a lot of the answer to that is I don't actually need a website.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
You know, a Facebook page or a LinkedIn page would do far better than having a website.
If you're a takeaway restaurant, you know, people don't need a website for a takeaway restaurant. They'll get it on Google Maps
or a Facebook page or whatever, something. Yeah.
So that's absolutely right. You know, because what you want at the end of the day is that you want to be able to have helped that business to grow and achieve their business objectives.
Right.
You want that website to be effective. And if you don't know what the objectives are, how can you possibly do that?
But then that then forms, so the website forms an integral part of a communication strategy for your business. It's not a standalone item.
No.
It's okay, how am I going to drive traffic to that website?
Absolutely.
What do I want to do with those people when they land on my website? Yeah. How am I going to gather information so I can follow those people up? So it ties in with all of your social media, with all your email marketing, with everything, basically, your video.
It's important to point out at this moment in time that we're not expecting people to have the answer to those questions themselves.
Right.
We're here to help them.
You're going to help them to think them through.
Absolutely.
So what are you trying to achieve? What would you like to achieve from your website?
Yeah.
Would you like a steady stream of new business inquiries, for example?
I think you've also got to be careful, though, when you ask questions like that, because it's, you know, like, would you like gold bars? Oh, yeah. You know, I think this is Richard's point, and I think this is where we really need to listen to what he's saying here, is that you need to know what you want, but you also need to be realistic about what you want, and you then need to understand what the costs of what you want are.
Yeah. We've gotten pretty good at asking the right questions, because, of course, if you say, what do you want your website to achieve, the answer you're going to get is, we want more business, which is obviously an extremely vague, unhelpful answer.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, thanks very much, you and everyone else. You know, so we've gotten very good at asking the right type of questions, you know, so to get the information that we need to be able to help people to achieve their objective.
Yeah. But the other thing that Richard does, that I like in particular, Paul, is he'll look at your existing website and give you some pointers, completely free of charge. So if you wanted to spend an hour with Richard to say, Richard, I like the cut of your jib, come and tell me what you think of my website, he'll look at your website within five or six kind of key categories in terms of, you know, is it responsive? Is it mobile responsive?
How many
websites do you go on even today and they're not mobile friendly?
Even some big corporations, when you get their website up on your phone, half of it doesn't work. My favourite company in the world, a telecoms company that I won't identify, I shall use an anagram of their name, TB.
Is it Vodafone?
It could be.
You've got a real thing about them.
I hate them. I hate them with a vengeance. They are the worst customer orientated company on the planet, by none. I went and tried to buy something on Saturday from there, but I was trying to do it on my phone.
I know,
and it was a nightmare.
So, what you're saying is that BT need a new website.
Yeah. BT
does
need a lot of things.
No, sorry, TB. We're not allowed to name names.
Whoever they are. The ones that aren't Vodafone.
But it wasn't mobile friendly. That was my point. They've got a huge website, but trying to order something on a phone on their website was not easy.
On
a phone.
On a fin.
Well, you're going back to your French pronunciation.
On a fin.
On a fin.
Yeah.
He'll say this only once.
A leg of him.
Anyway, we're kind of running out of time, and I still want to talk to Brian
after we finish talking to Richard.
I know, so let him get on with it.
Keep interrupting him and putting words in his mouth.
What was the question?
Go away.
What are you trying to achieve here today, Richard?
He's trying to get away from you.
I've lost the plot now.
Yeah.
It's the fin.
We were talking about the fact that you will do an assessment of someone's existing website and whether it's mobile-friendly.
Yeah, that goes back to what Martin was saying about the blog, because there are five or six key things that people make a mistake on, and they don't know what they are, so I can help them to try and figure
Loading out. Speed.
Loading speed.
SEO, can people even find you? If they were searching for your business locally, would they even find you? You know, the answer's probably no.
We've talked a little bit about business objectives, which is absolutely critically important, but also what's critically important is that there's a whole lot of technical jiggery-pokery that goes on behind the scenes of a website that people don't want anything to do with. Mm. They're not interested, they don't care, They just want someone to take control of it and deal with it for them. You know, and part of this is going through it from that point of view and just realizing that there are things that you need to be able to do to make your website effective, and you know, we can do it.
Cool. Look, we could talk about this forever. It's a big subject. We're actually going to put together, I think we being Amanda, a half-day event on this, because so many people suddenly realise what an issue this is how to buy a website or how to buy website services. So we're looking at putting something together. So we'll be in touch about that, because there's a lot to contribute into this. And it's time that the issues were raised, to be honest, about the whole web industry and how we go about selling our products to people that don't have the technical wherewithal to know how to buy them effectively.
So
really good points, Richard. It's a pleasure to talk to you, as always. If people want to find out more about Torball Design, how can they do that?
They can go to the website, which is Torball Design.
Who did it for you?
I've got something else to do. I was busy. TorballDesign.com. Nicely, all the information's there.
Fantastic.
And you really ought to read Richard's blog.
Yep.
And I'll be supplying it to you shortly as
cool.
well. Because what it will do, hopefully, is stimulate some kind of thought your end before you then start engaging with people like Richard about, actually, you know, I think there are some key things that aren't right with my website.
Yep.
And I'd like some pointers.
Well, as a little plug for Supply My Business, you know, since I joined and put that blog together, I've had quite a lot of feedback, and a lot of conversations have come off the back of simply doing that.
Good. So that's how it works.
Yeah.
Yes, it does.
Richard, thank you so much for that.
No problem. Thank you very much.
That's really cool. We've got another guest to talk to in a minute. Have you got anything burning that you need to cover before we talk to Brian?
No.
Because we're fast running out of time here.
I've turned my heated seat off, so you carry on.
It wasn't heated to start with. So I don't know what you've been doing to heat it, but there you go. Well, I need to tell you about the 7Oaks Business Awards, because the nominations are now open. And you can nominate yourself or nominate someone else for a 7Oaks Business Award by emailing admin.tp@7oakstown.gov.uk, and they will send you an application form. The awards ceremony will be taking place in September, probably at the Knoll Academy. I don't know the exact date yet, but I will know it soon, because I'm presenting it, so I shall be there again.
I would like to give a quick mention to the Marlow Theatre.
Yep.
And Dreamland, because they hosted a wonderful networking event last Thursday at Dreamland, where they were introducing local businesses to all the corporate events that Dreamland can run on behalf of your business. So, you know, entertainment, team building, all that kind of stuff. So the Marlow runs some fantastic business networking events. They're quite often themed around the shows that are happening at the theatre. But this one was the Marlow on tour. So thanks, Sam and Matt, for organising that. We had a great evening at Dreamland last week.
Fantastic. I want to tell you about PrintFest Sevenoaks, which starts tomorrow and runs until the 10th of June. It's the Sevenoaks Kaleidoscope Gallery, and it's in Buckhurst Lane, Sevenoaks. And the opening hours are Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday and Friday, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m, Thursday, 9 to 8 p.m, and Saturday, 9 to 5 p.m. There's original prints, demonstrations, workshops and talks by artists celebrating the very best of printmaking in the UK today, from etching to lithographs, screen prints to collagraphs. Emerging talent and students will be exhibiting, and they'll be showing alongside distinguished guest artists. Demonstrations, workshops and a programme of talks offer visitors of all ages an insight into the magical world of printmaking. Photocopy transfer workshops with Margaret Ashman will happen on Saturday, June the 9th. The Kaleidoscope Gallery dry point etching workshop with Bill Hall and Marilyn Kyle will be on Saturday, June the 2nd. And the Kaleidoscope Gallery artist in residence days throughout the festival will be on Thursday the 24th and Thursday the 31st of May and Thursday the 7th of June from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. That's the PrintFest Sevenoaks at the Kaleidoscope Gallery in Buckhurst Lane.
There is just time to mention another networking event that's happening tomorrow morning, Paul. Westerham. It doesn't say who's actually hosting it.
Sevenoaks Business. Sevenoaks Chamber.
Oh, it's Sevenoaks Chamber who are hosting it. Okay. So it's at Westerham. It's tomorrow morning from 10:30 to 12, Quebec House, which I believe is a National Trust property.
It is indeed.
Entrance is free for chamber members. This is Sevenoaks Chamber. Otherwise, non-chamber members can join everybody there on the day for just £10. So they're asking you to please register in advance, and you can do that at info@sevenoakschamber.com. But if you're looking for a networking meeting tomorrow morning to fill your diary, that would be a nice one to go to in Westrum.
Fantastic. Quebec House is the former home of General Wolfe, of course.
He was famous for?
The Battle of Quebec.
Being a general.
The Battle of Quebec?
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, let's talk to our next guest. Thank goodness we have someone sensible. It's an absolute pleasure to welcome Mr. Brian Wakefield of Brian's Business Networking these days, and a number of other ventures as well, which we might touch on. Brian, welcome to the Business Bunker Show. Thank you so much for joining us. This is your first venture into the bunker?
It is.
Yeah.
Absolutely first.
Yeah, sorry.
But not last, Brian. Yeah, hey, well, not last.
I hope not, but I do play hard to get one.
Brian, it's an absolute pleasure to see you as always. Thank you so much for joining us. Why don't you kick off by telling us a bit about what you're up to these days and your newly launched, fairly newly launched, BBN.
Yeah, thank you, Paul. Great to be here. Yes, BBN is predominantly a fortnightly networking event held at Dartford Football Ground.
Right.
It's something that has really born out of another event, so it's been going for about 6 years or so, but latterly known as BBN over the last few months. And it's really about collaboration, relationship building. It's a little bit different to a lot of other networking events that we've perhaps all been to. And, yeah, it's where businesses come together and to enjoy doing businesses, basically.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because there's quite, without being funny, there's quite, it's a bit like Richard, you know, and the amount of web designers there are. There's a lot of networking goes on these days.
Yeah, there is.
There's a lot of networking, and there are differences in the different types of networking. You get referral networks, and you get breakfast networks, and all those kind of things. But you've got a history of running very successful networking groups, and I want to know why.
That's a $6 million question. If I had a pound for every time I was asked that, Paul.
Yeah.
But no, thank you for saying that. And that's pretty much how I see it. There's, as you touched on, there's a sort of typical weekly type networking event that's high joining fee, maybe high membership, ultra commitment, you have to go. And then at the other end of the scale, there's pretty much the sort of ad hoc turn up if you're in the area kind of thing.
Yep.
I like to think that we're absolutely halfway between the two of those, really. So it fills a very, very large gap. I think it's very much driven by the type of people and the mix of people and businesses that you get there. So whilst there is no obligation to attend every meeting and you don't have to be there at a particular time, etc., I find that the majority of people do actually attend every meeting, and they get there early. Half of them are probably there before we officially open at 7 o'clock.
I live in there.
So that's keen for you, isn't it? I like to think it's more than just a networking meeting where people kind of turn up, pitch to the room, get rid of a load of business cards and disappear off again. It's much more of a business hub.
Well that's kind of where I wanted to go with this. From your point of view, as someone that successfully run networking groups, what is it that you think really needs that? Because you do, you get a lot of people that will rock up at these things with a whole fistful of business cards and just go, you know, I do this, give their business cards out, eat their bacon and eggs and go. And to me, that's not really what it should be about. But, you know, I bow to your greater knowledge of this. What, from your point of view, what do you like to see in a networking group?
Good point. That's exactly my view on it, is that is this event for you? If you want to turn up and see 50 people in the room, hand out 40 business cards and get 30 meetings on your first visit, it's not the place for you, really, isn't it? We're that's very transactional. We're very much more about relationship building long term. And if you've got really good, deep relationships with people, you've built the know, like, trust, they're much more likely to do business with you.
So, I mean, I think that for me separates it from a lot of groups, because it's people doing business with people that they want to do business with, rather than it's implied you will do business with a particular person because they happen to be the person in the room that does a particular thing that you happen to need. Mm-hmm. That, for me, is the key difference. And the fact that it's pay as you go, you don't have to be a, you know, you don't sign up to a year subscription or anything like that. And people come back and there's a waiting list to kind of get into that meeting. Says it all for me in terms of the quality of the engagement on the day. And I mean, I drive up from where I live and it takes me.
Well, I was going to talk about this.
It takes me an hour to get there. So
I was going to talk about this because this is what fascinates me, because you hold these events in Dartford.
Absolutely.
He goes to it and he comes from the other end of beyond.
Couldn't be further away.
Yeah. Yeah. But you're not from Dartford either, are you?
No. I reside in Maidstone.
Yeah.
I suspect that half-ish of the room are from Dartford-type area, so it's got a good heart and soul. It's got a good solid base. The other half-ish are from all over the place. We get people from Tunbridge Wells, Sevenoaks, Ramsgate, Canterbury, and people coming out of London as well, so it's fairly central.
See, I'm going to have a bit of a rant here. I'm going to have a little bit of a rant, because this does my head in all the time. I see people that go, you know, because I publicise a lot of things on social media, and quite a lot of them are networking meetings or events or whatever. And the amount of people that live in Kent and go, oh, I can't go to that. It's too far. Yeah. It's not where I live.
Yeah.
And you go, hold on a minute. You're trying to grow your business. You're never going to grow your business by only selling to people that live in the same road.
Right.
That ain't going to ever work.
Or the same 20 people you meet every week.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's all you do.
You've got to get out.
Of course you have.
And what has fascinated me about your group is that it is in Dartford, but it attracts all these people in where so many other groups don't. And I'm still trying to get my finger on how you're doing that. He's not going to tell us, is he?
Well, I'll tell you how he does it. It's because of the personality that Brian brings to the meeting.
Oh, is there someone else involved?
You know, it's...
Sorry, Brian, you know, that wasn't fair, was it?
Again, it comes down to the fact that people want to be there.
Yeah.
And Brian facilitates the meeting in a way that, you know, we're not meant to feel like school children. We're not kind of, you know, ticking off 25 things on an agenda that we have to get through every meeting. The meeting is there for the people that are there on the day.
Right.
And everybody has the opportunity to network in terms of open networking, as well as doing a 60 seconds. But Brian is just there as a facilitator. He's not wielding a big stick and telling people what they can and can't do. He runs a tight ship, and he does run it to an agenda.
Cool. Well, that's what I was going to ask him next, is what the kind of format of the program is. When does it start? What do you get? What happens?
Sure. It's a good point that Martin made, actually, is that we don't have rules as such. We don't inflict rules on people. We really give help, tips and advice. So people say, what time do I have to get there? What time can I leave? You know, if you're looking to leave before you've got there, then it's possibly not the best attitude. Do I have to come to every meeting? And I usually say, you don't actually have to do anything. Any of those things, I'll give you some advice, and yeah, you can kind of rock up at 7:30, launch into your 60 seconds, get a kind of bit of nosebag down your neck and disappear off. But that, to me, isn't proper networking. Mm-hmm. It's the open networking. So to answer your question, Paul, is that, yeah, we open at 7:00. Never ceases to amaze me the amount of people that are there in the car park waiting for it to open. So that's good. We have open networking until around 7:30. Grab a coffee, chat to people. We're based on 5 tables of 10 at Dartford. So yes, 50 people, which we've had to cap it at, because it's really difficult to handle any more. As Martin said, we do actually have waiting lists for pretty much all the meetings. But we do the 60-second round, which we have to be fairly strict on. We then have a member presentation, so that's a kind of 10-minute. It might be a little bit more about them, a little bit more about their business, how they got to where they are. Again, so we can find out a little bit more about them and their business, and we then kind of kick back and relax. 8:40, help yourself to breakfast. There's no rush, no pressure, you're not kicked out. There's
I rarely get away before sort of 10:30, 11:00.
Yes,
yeah, so you talk too much, that's why.
That's a 3.5 our networking meeting.
And again, that's for a reason. We haven't locked the doors and kept people in, have we? It's lovely to look around at kind of half 10-ish and there's still 25, 30 people that are having pre-arranged meetings in a lot of cases because of the interaction in between the meetings.
You know, the difference is, another key difference for me is it's the dynamic of the group. It's the businesses in that room. A lot of them are doing business because, as Brian says, they are sort of North Kent-based, Dartford-based. A lot of them are doing business in London.
Yep.
And as we know, London is a completely different beast to Kent. You know, and those businesses are hungry and they're ambitious and they're very switched on generally. And so the dynamic in the room is just, you know, everybody wants to help everybody. And if introductions can be facilitated, they will happen. And and that dynamic is hard to find in a lot of networking groups.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it's a good point because one of the things you were saying, Paul, is how do you get that many people there, etc. Well, I think location again, and accessibility, it's very, very easy to get to. It's literally a minute off of the M25, A282 or whatever it is. There's plenty of parking. The facilities there, I think it's one of the premier venues in North Kent, the size of the rooms there, the views. The catering, everything is really, really good. And we've held lots of other events there through members as well.
And it's bi-weekly.
Right.
Because, you know, with the best will in the world, you know, we're all running busy businesses. And to have a meeting every single week and be expected to kind of deliver this and deliver that and whatever else, it's impossible to do that with any kind of credibility, I would suggest.
Absolutely.
And so bi-weekly means that actually, you know, you've had time to kind of think about opportunities a bit more and kind of maybe explore some
of that. To do something, yeah. Mm. People are much more inclined to commit, I find, because if they miss a meeting, they've then got a month in reality, which is quite a long time.
Sure. So where do we go from here, Brian? Are you looking at having alternative venues or are you sticking to Dartford Football Club?
Yeah, great question. We just a few days ago have announced the launch of our second meeting, which is going to be BBM Bromley, which will launch on the 20th of June.
Okay.
Excuse the football club connection, but that will be at Bromley Football Club. So
I can see a little pattern evolving.
We're doing
here.
Our bit for the National League.
He
here.
Likes his football.
Oh, yes. I shall have one at every Kent football club before long. Yeah.
Well, there's quite a few of them.
Except Thanet Rovers. Or whatever they're called, I don't know. But
that was a rugby team.
Well, are they? that's the one. They'll do.
You can get a Margate.
Different shape ball. Can I? Oh, thank you.
Going down a Margate.
We've just nicked their manager, actually, at Maidstone, but that's another story. And that will be run on a fortnightly basis by somebody that was on here not too long ago, the wonderful Paul McCartney.
Paul McCartney.
Oh, right, okay.
E-business coaching. Yeah.
I should be walking very, very closely with Paul on that.
So that's at the Bromley Football Club, and it's launching when?
It's launching on Wednesday the 20th of June, so that will be the alternate week to Dartford.
Okay, cool.
So we'll actually have an event a week.
Yeah,
okay. We actually need to kind of cope with the demand and the overspill, if you like, for Dartford, because Martin touched on it earlier. We've capped it at 50 people, and we do actually have 48, 49, 50 businesses at every meeting there, so might be able to shunt some of them over there because some of them do travel from there. So.
What would be really good, I think, moving forwards as well, Paul, is to get your help to think about how Brian could potentially launch a really successful group in Ashford.
Yeah, absolutely.
Ashford is one of those areas, I think, that historically has really struggled to have, a networking group that's kind of there for the long term.
Do you know, it's really funny. Maidstone, where my head office is, and the county town of Kent, is dreadful for business support. There's just nothing there. And Ashford is fairly similar as well. There are one or two things that happen here. I mean, there's a kind of small event that happens here at Kent Space, but that's recent. But it's not really a networking event per se in the same way. But you're right, there's not a lot. And Ashford has got a huge, huge commercial centre.
Yeah.
There's a lot of businesses here, a lot.
So what Brian's looking for is a venue. that can cater with a full English breakfast.
Well, there's the football club, obviously.
For 50 people.
Ashford Town Football Club, obviously.
Every other week.
Why not?
So if anybody's out there running a venue like that, that can cater for a networking group on that basis, and you're in, you know, fairly centrally located in or around Ashford, then Brian, I'm sure, would love to hear from you, because that's, again, something to think about for the future.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we touched earlier, another thing I think that's a little bit different is the mix of businesses. A lot of networking events that we've all been to can either be made up of very, very small businesses, or I went to one a week or two ago where it was all very, very corporate, and there were four and five delegates from each company, and they were massive PLC companies. So who covers the bit in the middle? We do have a mix at Dartford. I think a lot of them do have employees, and you mentioned Chris at Metro Bank. He's at most of the meetings. We've got some big insurance companies, some big accountants and Jarmans, solicitors are always there. And then there's some medium-sized and smaller businesses as well.
I mean, you know Joanne Bell from Bell's Accounting.
Yeah, Bell's Accounting, yeah.
They're just very dynamic businesses. You know, Joanne is a very dynamic individual.
Well, clearly to me, a lot of, you know, obviously Brian is expert facilitating these kind of things, and I wouldn't denigrate that in any way, shape or form, but of course a lot of it is down to the fact that it's the people that you've got at the event as well, isn't it?
Totally.
You know, the type of people that are there and the type of businesses they are will make it something that's worth going to.
That's always key.
Yeah.
But, you know, you don't get one without the other.
Exactly. No, exactly. Exactly.
No, that's right. You're absolutely right. And I think if you're going to have an event and you're just trying to drive it yourself, it's always going to be hard, and it's going to be often one-dimensional. We're really lucky at Dartford, where I think we've got as many as 12 or 15 drivers there, and they're all connected in different groups, in different walks of life, and they're very passionate about bringing new people along. We all have that, and it to the point where it's actually by invitation now. We purposely don't have an online booking system where people can just go on and book in, because then we have no control over who comes, type of business.
Absolutely.
So we can select and keep the equilibrium, if you like, and get the balance of businesses and people. So I think that's key.
Absolutely. Brian, we could talk about this forever, but sadly we are at the end of the show, would you believe?
We don't have to talk about it. You can come along and see it for yourself.
Absolutely.
Well, I've got room, have we, Martin?
No.
No,
I'm not on the waiting list.
I'm not up then. is there somewhere where people can find out more about it, Brian?
There absolutely is, Paul. The new website, which is literally 10 days or so old, is bbnetworking.co.uk. We're also on Twitter, at BriansBN. And there's a Facebook page, which is Brian's Business Networking. And from there, you can join the group, but you do have to be an active member of the meetings. It's a closed group.
Yeah.
So that's another vehicle for people to collaborate in between the meetings. So, there's those four different things to be getting on with.
Fantastic. Brian, thank you so much for that. It's an absolute pleasure to talk to you. And we wish you much success with your next group and subsequent groups after that. So that's Bromley in June at the Bromley Football Club, as well as the Dartford Football Club one, and probably soon to be Ashford Town or somewhere similar.
We need to
Ashford.
Find a venue.
Yeah,
Old Trafford.
Absolutely. Old Trafford.
Yeah, BBN Manchester.
How about the Old Trafford trophy cabinet? That's free at the moment, isn't it?
Touché, my friend, touché.
Bit small for one of Brian's groups.
Yeah. Cool. Hey, listen, we've reached the end of the show. I want to say a huge thank you to today's show sponsors, the lovely folks at Kent Creative, to my marvellous co-host, Mr. Martin White, and to our fantastic guest, the lovely Claire Turner of Education Life, the lovely Richard Turbull.
Thank you.
No, you're not lovely. Richard Torbell of Torbell Design, and of course the fantastic Mr. Brian Wakefield of BBN Networking. Thank you so much. Coming up on channelradio.co.uk, one for the rest of the day at 5 o'clock, Mr. Craig Avery, the latest favourite, with 2 hours of celebrity interviews and music. That's followed at 9 o'clock by Mr. James LaSalle, former keyboard player of Cockney Rebel, and his world tour music show. And then, as always, on a Tuesday night, at 11 o'clock, we finish up with...
It's Club Culture with Boy George.
1, 2, 3, get down! cool drum beat at the squidgy bass, I give you Vanilla Ace, and it rhymes. That means I'm right on time. Welcome to Club Culture, where I control my very own dance universe. 1 hour or more of grooving delectables for your disco pleasure. I'm Boy George.
It's 1 hour of delectable, delicious dance music. It's Club Culture with Boy George on Channel Radio.
So as always on a Tuesday evening on channelradio.co.uk/1, we finish up with the wonderful Mr. Boy George with the Club Culture Show. That's it for another week on the Business Funk Show. We'll be back with you next Tuesday. Keep on keeping on. Have a fantastic week, everybody, and we'll see you all soon. Don't forget, you can always tweet us with the hashtag BBunker, or you can email us at businessbunker.co.uk. So we'd love to hear from you. Have a fantastic week, and we will see you all soon. Bye for now.
Bye.
Bye.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.